We've been thinking about Joseph and those golden truths that carried him through the darkness, the misery, the hardships, the pain, the suffering. And of course, we noticed that one of the great truths was the truth of waiting. You're just going to have to wait. Just going to have to wait. And he did. But what we found out is waiting works. Waiting works. And it worked for him, and it'll work for you if you'll just wait. He had to wait 22 years, but it worked. And then we saw that great truth of suffering that Joseph embraced that made him so much like Christ. And we realized that it is one of those gifts that God gives you and I on the behalf of Christ to not only reign with Him, but to suffer with Him. And if you're not going to wait, and you refuse to suffer, then I can't tell you what's going to come out of your life. But Joseph waited. He embraced his waiting. He embraced his suffering. And God did great things. And then last night we noticed that he understood the truth of saving. He said, boys, God's been a saving through this whole ordeal. And I'm glad that he is. But tonight I want to take a step further, and I want to notice how that Joseph embraces the truth of obedience. Now, these are subjects that you hardly ever hear. I know you do hear, but you're not going to hear this on TBN or right. Jolly Oldstein ain't going to have it Sunday morning or whenever. Right. They don't want to think about waiting. They don't want to think about suffering. And not a whole lot of preaching done on obedience or obeying. But the Bible said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to the submission of Christ. And this thing starts at the top. It starts with Christ. His life was a life of obedience. He came to do not his will, but the will of the Father. The Bible said in Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. As the old mountain fellow said, I can't explain that, but I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm just going to tell you, he was interested in obeying his Father. And you and I, too, should be interested in obeying or obedience. And had Joseph not embraced this matter of obeying, I can't tell you how his life would have turned out. But it is one of those great truths that was so vibrant and evident in his life that God used to get him to where he needed him to be, that he might be able to do this saving work. Honey, all of our salvation came out of the obedience of Christ. And that he obeyed his Father. And it comes all the way down. As Paul spoke to the children in Ephesians and in Colossians, he said, obey your parents in the Lord. The emphasis of this matter of obedience is so important in society. that there is no submission to authority, as we have seen of late in our schools and on our streets. The society itself begins to implode. And especially in our homes. As someone has well said, nowadays, parents act more like babysitters than parents. Because they don't want to confront the issue. It's kind of like you're tending to them till 5 o'clock and then you're going to turn them over to somebody else, so don't press the matter. But God's not babysitting us. He's our Father. If we are His children. And He demands, if things are going to work like they ought to in your life, He demands obedience. Obedience. And I want to emphasize this truth of obedience that flows from the throne, from Christ Himself all the way down through His body. And you can think of it in that nature. The only reason why that my body operates as fluently as it does is it obeys the commands of the head. And the day that there is a disconnect between my head and any part of my body, then it's going to break down. And I'm here to tell you, He's the head of the body, and all the body is connected to the head. And for that body to work and operate and function as it ought to, all the body must respond to Him. To Him. That's why it said that we are to bring our every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As His children, we have no right to think on our own or to decide on our own. But we are to obey Him as He obeyed His Father. Notice how this obedience is so vibrant in Joseph on all levels as he goes through these 22 years. And then had it not been so in any one place, it would have stopped everything. The wheels would have stopped turning of the working of God. And I don't care who we think we are or what position we are in. You can be a newborn babe in Christ, but if you do not obey the wheels of growth and the wheels of the working of God are stopped. Or you can be an evangelist like myself and have been in this thing for 49 years, but if I wake up one day and say, God, I'm not going to do that, everything stops right there. Cold turkey. And then I don't know what comes out of the rest of that. Certainly it's not going to work as it ought to. But isn't it amazing, in spite of everything that Joseph went through, how his life worked so smoothly? Simply because he was not following his own intuition. He was not doing his own bidding, but he was obedient. Notice early on, if you will. Now we know the troubles he had with his brothers. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 37 tells us about the father who made the coat, and then it tells us in verse 4 that his brothers saw that and they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. But notice with me, if you will, in verse number 13, verse number 12 of chapter 37. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And notice, in the latter part of the verse, and he said unto him, here am I. Now that is obedience. He could have brought conflict and confusion into it by arguing with his father and saying, "Dad, they don't like me. I don't like them. You don't know what they do to me when you're not around. I ain't a-going." And some would say, justifiably so, but thank God he didn't. He obeyed his father. And verse number 14 said, the first part of it, and notice it. "And he said unto him, Go," the whole part, "I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. This is obedience that's taking place in Joseph's life. Now, if you will, look in chapter number 39 and verse number, of course, verse 1 and 2 tells us how he's bought by Potiphar. The Lord's with him in verse number 2. Verse number 3 said, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands." And notice verse 4, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him." Which simply says to me, he was obedient to his master. Obedient to his master. And then if you'll look down in verse number 20, Joseph's master, as a result of the falsehoods of Potiphar's wife, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. In other words, he's obedient at the Father's house. He's obedient in the foreign land. He's obedient even when he's put in jail. And if you'll notice in verse 4, chapter number 40, it talks about how he served them. His heart is a heart that obeys. It is a heart of genuine obedience. Genuine obedience. Now look in chapter number 41 and verse number 39. "Joseph and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Now I want to emphasize four thoughts about this matter of obedience that can only make our lives what they need to be in relationship with God, to help us to understand the importance on every level, to not take for granted or take lightly this matter of subjection, this matter of obeying, this matter of obedience. Now, the first thing that I want to emphasize to you about this matter of obedience that's true through all the Bible, and true in all of our relationships, is that obedience is that which identifies you. Obedience is that which verifies you. It is obedience that lets everybody know to whom you belong. I like what the scripture said in Romans 6, verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey." That's why Jesus said unto that religious crowd, "You're of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father will you do." He said, "I know who you belong to by who you are obeying." Now somebody might try to convince you that they're a child of God when at the same time they're obeying the voice of the devil. And by their obedience to the flesh, by their obedience to their own wills and desires, they even sort of convince themselves that everything's all right. Well, honey, if you're not constantly seeking the face of God, your heavenly Father, concerning your life and what you're supposed to be doing with your life, you're living in disobedience. And it has no symbolism of belonging at all. The fact that a father can say to the son, as I notice here, that we understand sonship because it's not Joseph obeying just anybody. He's obeying his father. This is the true principle of the home. And that preeminently that child belongs to that father, to that mother, and therefore they obey them, and that lets you know who they belong to. Humorously, I heard two of the grand youngins this week. I won't point them out. One of them came in there and told the other one what to do. And I noticed the other one looked at him real firmly and said, "Did Mama say that?" And the other one said, "Yes, she did." And of course, it was reaffirmed when she went and said, "Mama, did you say that?" But the fact was, that wasn't the mama. We had to get the authority that comes from the top in this case. It was only the sister. But this matter of obedience lets us know to whom you belong in this matter of sonship. But not only in this matter of sonship, it's in this matter of ownership. In the first place, he is obeying his father. But in the second place, he is obeying his master. He is operating at the will and the command of the one who is over him, Potiphar. And you know who he belongs to because of that connection in the will and in the obedience. It has to do with sonship. It has to do with ownership. But it has to do also with lordship. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, he said, glorify God. I have no right to operate upon my own instinct, will, desire, because I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to him. And a good sign and testimony to all those people around you is not you just going around saying, carrying a title, or talking about an point in time in which you bowed at some altar or read some verse or you got baptized. I'm going to tell you the real evidence of that is what's going on in your heart and who you are obeying. Even when the authorities tried to cause Peter and James and them not to preach, they said, "Ought we to obey man or obey God? We belong to God, we're going to obey God." If you're a child of God, you need to be obeying God. Joseph is obeying God. In this matter of sonship, in this matter of ownership, in this matter of lordship, I'm going to tell you, this matter of obedience says more about you than just about anything else that can be said. You're right. Whose commands are you following? You say, "Well, he ain't never said nothing to me." Well, that says everything. Don't have to say anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. As a 14-year-old boy, he spoke to me when he saved me. He didn't wait 10 years to become Lord of my life. That put him in that position right then. Now, there may have been those times that I didn't let him have his position, but thank God, I want you to know he's Lord of your life and my life if you belong to him. And he will teach you, if he has to whip you, to obey. And he can be harsh. He can be harsh. I tell folks that my dad did not know anything about Dr. Spock and the psychology of child rearing, and I'm telling you literally. For him, time out meant how long you were unconscious. That's the truth. When you come to, you didn't want time out no more. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God Almighty is not interested in playing around with his children. If you are his child, he's going to teach you that the only way that you can ever survive in this Christian walk is you're going to have to obey. It's the beginning of it all. Every morning is obedience. The entirety of all the day, your heart's plugged in tune with heaven for this matter of listening for obedience. When you lay down at night, you check your heart and you want to know, am I in obedience to his command? And oh, look at Joseph. He has a heart of obedience. It identifies you. But the second thing that I want to say to you about this matter of obedience is that it simplifies the Christian life. This is the basics of the Christian life. I heard about a story of a young boy about 10 years old. His daddy had passed away and his mama was struggling to make it back during the Depression. And he was going, trying to find a job to bring in some money, as many had to during those days. He saw a little sign, a job opening. So as a 10-year-old, he went in there, grocery store, country grocery store, and he said, "Mister, I saw your sign." And he said, I want that job." Well, he said, "Son, I don't know, you being 10 years old, if you could qualify." Said, "Now, have you ever stocked any shelves?" He said, "No, sir, I hadn't." Said, "Have you ever unloaded any trucks?" He said, "No, sir, I hadn't." Said, "Have you ever worked a cash register?" He said, "No, sir, I hadn't." He said, "Well, son, tell me what you can do." He said, "Mister, I can do everything I'm told to do." He said, "Well, I think I'll hire you." You see, the matter of the Christian life is not understanding everything that God tells you to do, not knowing how it all operates and the functions of it. It's like Joseph. The simplicity of his life, his daddy said, "Go," and he went. The simplicity of the Christian life is not you sitting around trying to reason it out and argue with God about both sides and on whether it's real smart for you to do what he's told you to do. Honey, if you want to enjoy the Christian life and get through it like God wants you to, the answer to that is simply obey. Simply obey. The song has it right. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy. Happy! And if you find a joyful Christian, you mark it down. You found an obedient Christian. If you find a Christian whose heart is full, you have found an obedient Christian. And don't go around like children do and ask everybody else if he told them to do it. And don't argue because he's asked you to do something he didn't ask somebody else to do. That's what brings all the conflict in the home. He said, Johnny, go empty the trash. And Johnny said, well, I emptied it yesterday. It's Billy's turn. No, not if I tell you to do it. It ain't. Thing about it is, to keep life so simple, is when you think about it, a young person gets all the blessings and benefits of the house. They get the cookies, they get the milk, they get breakfast, they get all the meals, they get the air conditioning, they get the heat, they get to lay down in a good bed at night, get up in the morning, get to take a hot shower. All those benefits are theirs, and all they got to do to qualify for every bit of it is obey. That's it. And once you have obeyed, everything else works out like it should. That's why salvation came about like it did, is that Jesus came and obeyed all the way the will of his Father. And the reason that Joseph got through like he got through is because he obeyed on every level. I remember hearing a coach of a little league baseball team. He was the third base coach, Brother Brian. And he said he remembered one day he was, you know, when they hit that ball and they come, they get to running, get a pretty good hit. Now he's the one that gives them the sign as to whether they are to come on to third and go on to home. That's his job. That's what he's put there to do. And he said, an old boy said he hit that ball into the outfield and said he took off a running and, of course, hit that first base and said he hit that second base and said when he hit that second base, he kept looking back and said every time he'd look at me, I'd just wave him on as fast as I could. But he'd turn around and look back and I'd wave him on. And he'd turn around and look back and said the time he got to third, he'd look back so much, he knew he couldn't make it home, so he had to stop at third. He said, after it's over with, I took him aside and said, son, what on earth are you doing stopping at third? He said, well, I was afraid he's going to catch the ball and throw it. He said, you don't need to be worrying about that ball. You ain't supposed to worry about what's going to come of it. He said, if you get out, it's my fault. I'm the one. You watch me. Don't look at no ball. And if I'm saying run, you run, boy, all the way. Amen. He said, by the way, we lost the game. Because he stopped when he ought to have been running, because he's the one that was supposed to give the commands. And what Joseph is doing in his heart and what we are to do in our heart is we're just, the only thing that we need to be concerned with is, Lord, is this what you want for my life? And I know that sometimes that's not always clear, but it is clear that we ought to want it clear. He's living in obedience. It identifies you, but it also simplifies you. And that you just do as the little boy said, I can do what I'm told. But the third thing that I want to point out to you in this matter of obedience, it begins with Christ and comes all the way down through all of his children, is that it not only identifies the Christian, it not only simplifies the Christian, but I notice that it magnifies the Christian. It is not only the beginning of the Christian life and the basics of the Christian life, but it is the very blessing of the Christian life. Joseph, I read to you purposefully, I'll not go back over it, for all of those years that he was at home, and then all of those years that he was under Potiphar, and all of those years that he was in prison, he did what somebody else told him to do. But as a 30-year-old man, he is brought up, and there's only one above him, and that is Pharaoh. And I read in the text how that Pharaoh told him, he said, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you charge. He gave him a robe, he gave him a ring. He said, boy, now you're going to tell everybody else what to do. Understand this. If you never learn to follow orders, you're never going to be able to give orders. If you won't follow, you will not be able to lead. And Joseph has followed so intently in obedience that it's no problem when authority is turned over to him so that others could follow. Let me word it this way so we can make application, and I have with my own heart as I pondered this. If when you talk, no one pays any attention, it's because you're not listening well yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If when you talk, it doesn't get anybody else's attention that's of any value. I mean, when Joseph talks, the king listens. When Joseph talks, the Bible said he taught their senators. When Joseph talks, he controls the economy. When Joseph talks, he controls the... You say, well, how'd he get that much authority? By listening. He heard what his daddy had to say. He heard what Potiphar had to say. He heard. He listened. And thank God, when he spoke, others perked up. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And I try to impress this in the hearts of my grandchildren. And what I say to them, it just wasn't me. I'm going to tell you, with a fancy suit walking into these churches, that let them say to me, hey, we want to hear what you've got to say. I said, what it started off was is as a 14-year-old boy, I didn't pay any attention to what I wanted to say. I wanted to hear what God had to say through everybody he had to say it through. I've spent all these years listening for God's voice through his children and obeying. And then he said, okay, now it's time for you to speak. And I'll make sure that somebody else listens. And what blesses my heart is from time to time when somebody takes my hand, Brother Jay, and said, you remember what you preached? God spoke to me through that. Changed my world. But that's not just true in my life. It's something to be emphasized in that if you will follow, God will so magnify you and raise you up to where you will. Every follower will be God's leader. And every one of his children that will listen to the commands will one day give some commands. But by the way, you'll never get old enough in the Lord, but what you still don't have to obey. Every day I wake up, I'm listening to what he's saying to my heart because I'm keenly interested. I want to obey him. And in turn, as you obey, just think about it, who's listening to you anyway? So I don't, and you hear children say that. Well, they don't pay no attention to me. You don't pay no attention to them. And look at a world that's grasping for attention. Our streets are filled with people out there, yakety, 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 yak. I'm going to tell you, griping and complaining and demanding and rebelling. Look at it, rebelling. And they're screaming and screaming and screaming, and nobody's listening. And nobody will listen. Well, honey, if you want to get somebody else's ear, you start listening to God and what he's got to say. And honey, it'll change. It'll change. This matter of obedience is so vital in our walk with the Lord. How important that it is. How absolutely necessary that it is. It identifies the Christian. It simplifies the Christian. The Christian life is so simple. It's all summarized in obedience. It magnifies the Christian. It's the blessing of it. Blessing of it. Look at Jesus. If you want to find out how high a person can get in obedience, look at Jesus. He humbled himself, came down, honey, in full obedience. And look at the distance he came down. But thank God, look at the distance he was taken up as he sits on the right hand of the Father. And I do not take it lightly, walking into the presence of men like this. And you don't either. When somebody really wants to hear what you've got to say. You know what that's saying about you? Obedience. They know you've been getting your information from the right source with the right heart. And they want to hear what you got to say.
Amen.
Magnifies the Christian. But then the last thing that I want to emphasize to you is not on the fact that it identifies, it simplifies, it magnifies. But this matter of obedience is much bigger, broader in scope than we could ever imagine. It amplifies everything. We really don't realize the importance of it until we get to see the effects of it. That Joseph's obedience is not only going to affect his life, but there's a whole crowd coming out of the promised land down there that his obedience is going to affect them.
Right.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
His obedience is going to affect history. His obedience is going to affect a whole nation. My lands, there is really, once you look at it, look at Christ. I keep pointing to Christ. There's no limit to the boundaries of what his obedience has done. There's no limit to it. I mean, it has reached 2,000 years. And I'm going to tell you, I have been saved through his obedience. Because he obeyed his Father. He came and paid the price for my sin. He saved me. And it comes out of a measure of his obedience. And what Joseph is doing, I don't know if he realizes the fullness of it, but thank God for a young boy who will obey daddy and will obey his father and will obey even in the situation of which he is forced into to be a servant, his master, will obey in prison because God's fixing to do big things through an obedient heart. Never know what other lives. And I don't want my children to see rebellion in me. I don't want my grandchildren to see rebellion in me. Because if they do, I'm going to tell you, it's going to breed it in them. But if they watch you and they follow you and they see you as a servant of God and a child of God living in obedience, it's going to cultivate it in their heart and they'll say, I want a life like that. And so to get that kind of life, I'm going to obey. It'll affect all those that come along behind you. It just reaches out. I mean, I saw well why we ought to be obedient. And sometimes we need to go back to the beginning. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. Sometimes we have to go back to the start. Because there's some people, you'd be surprised how many people who if they are Christians, hadn't even got off first base in obedience. They're saved, hadn't even been baptized. They're saved, and they're not even faithful to church. They ain't gone far enough to where they can be faithful to church. They're saved, and they don't even know anything about giving to the Lord or tithing. Hey, Joseph, honey, if you don't start back there with Daddy and say, I hear him, it's going to mess up everything. You got to get that thing started. You got to go back and say, okay, where did I miss it? I'm going all the way back. I'm going to say, here am I in the beginning, because I want it. Here am I all the way through to the end. Amen. So when the day comes, when a hungry world needs to be fed, I can give a command and feed a hungry world. That's why Jesus, who obeyed the voice of his Father, could speak to the winds and waves, and they would bow at his will. They would submit. And who knows, honey, how much God's power that he invests. I don't know if we can measure it. How much he invests in simple obedience. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say to you, I believe that everybody that's ever been saved has indirectly or directly been saved out of somebody else's obedience. There had to be obedience in there somewhere. Now, I'm not going to say that it's going to be hunky-dory if you obey. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be sweet. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be roses. But all the power of obedience. Romans 5:19, if you want to know the power of obedience, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sin. How many men? Do you know how much you can affect in disobedience? But by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. One here and one there. One Adam and one Christ. But hey, honey, it works down with you and with me. If we can just live the obedient life, only God knows what's going to come out of that. Amen. Those coming right on your trail are those who are following you. And if you've got an obedient voice, it could be they could hear that voice and affect their world. And then affect the world that follows them. Just simply nutshell. Young man, what can you do? What can you do? He said, I can do what I'm told. Well, that'll qualify you. Just do what you're told. And you say, but preacher, what all, if I do surrender my will, if I do bow to his will, what all, I don't know what all, what's going to come out of that? Well, again, I done told you, and I'll close with this. I'm not saying it's going to be a bed of roses. I'd like to visit Joseph, and I'd like to interview him at some different times in his life. And I'd like to say to him, first of all, Joe, what in the world are you doing down here in this pit? If somehow I could get down there by myself, and I'd say, Joseph, what got you in a pit? You know what he'd say? I don't know. One day Daddy told me to, I done what Daddy told me to do, and I ended up in the pit. I'd like to talk to him while he's being hauled down into Egypt by those Ishmaelites. I said, Joseph, what are you doing on this band with this band of Ishmaelites? What got you in a mess like this? He said, well, I don't know. I just did what Daddy said. Looks bad, don't it? He's down there now and he's a servant. He's been bought. I can see him on the slave block. I said, why did you get on the slave block down there? I said, well, I don't know how it all happened, but I just one day daddy said go and I went. This is where it ended up. Not ended up. I said, Joseph, are you serving? Are you a servant? Is that a servant's jacket you got on? Are you out here? Who's your boss anyway? I said, well, I sold to Potiphar. He said, how'd you get down? How'd that happen? I don't know. One morning I come through the house and daddy said, Joe, I want you to go down there and check on the boys. And I said, here am I. And then he's in prison. I'm saying, man, you got a record? You're in prison? What are you doing in prison? He said, I don't know. One day I got up and was coming through the house and daddy said, go. And I said, I'll go. And here I am in prison. Then one day, I see him with that ring on his hand, that robe on his back, all that power and all that authority. And I say to him, hey, Joe, how in the world did you get a job like this? You're the prime minister of Egypt. You're the second most powerful man in the world. How'd you get this? He said, well, I don't understand it all. I just got up one morning walking through the house. And daddy said, go. And I said, hereby. I'm here to tell you, no matter how it looks on the way, obedience has only one direction, and that's to the throne. That's to the throne. We're the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Obedience can only do one thing to you, and that is elevate you. But not only will it elevate you, but thank God it'll reach out and elevate those around you that can see that obedience. And if in their heart they can come to Christ and say, oh Lord, I surrender all. I give you my heart. I want you to be Lord of my life. And when you do, in the simplicity of it, God's fixing to do big things that only God knows the limitations of it, the extent of it, how far. By just saying, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. How's that song go? Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I want to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and obey. Woo! Well, ain't that a duet? Huh? If I'd have sung it to start with, I wouldn't have had to preach. Do that again. Y'all making a good... Come on, do that again. That's the whole message right there. Did you hear that? Yes, Lord, yes, will and to your way. I want to say yes,
Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Amen.
With my... He's not saying, all right, I'll do it. Okay. If I have to. He said, no. With my whole heart. Jesus went to Calvary with his whole heart. He came into this world with his whole heart. And he saved us with his whole heart. Woo! One more time. Yes,
Lord, yes,
you can help.
To your will and to your way,
I'll say yes,
Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.
And I can't doubt. looking into this old boy's heart and listening to him talk this week, that he's sold out to that.
Yes.
Sold out to that. Obedience. It's the simple life.